Good morning. Welcome to worship at the United Presbyterian Church of Laramie. Congratulations on making it here. We are glad that you were able to get here this morning. Unfortunately, Reverend Bacon was not able to make it here this morning. She and Todd are stuck down in Brighton and found out at about noon yesterday that they were not going to be able to make it here today. So we will not be observing communion in the service today. The order of worship, that changes the order of worship a little bit. It will be more like our traditional Sunday order of worship. I'm sure you'll be able to kind of follow along. In your bulletin, there are a number of announcements regarding various activities and events going on here at the church and in the community. And we also have a few announcements from Nancy Glick.
Good morning. Three announcements. The workshop scheduled at 11:45 today and luncheon is canceled. Our speaker is stuck in Montana. So that will be rescheduled. Just be on the alert for those of you who have been going to the Syrian series. Sorry about that, but we found out about 10 o'clock last night. Not able to make it. Also, you'll notice on the tree that the tags for community holidays are there. Community holidays is under some pressure this year because of Toys for Tots closing shop. And so please, you know, take as many tags that you can. They range in age from 2 months to 91. And again, there are no children from the public schools because part of community holidays are the school system and their program, and they take care of those kids. But we have the younger children and some older teens that are on the tree. The other thing is, too, that there are some, this is the first day of Advent, and there are a couple of Advent calendars for sale on the soup to nuts table. There are chocolate Advent calendars from Serve, and again, their sale will be going towards Family Promise. Okay, thank you very much. If anybody has any questions, please get to me. But again, the gifts on the tags are brought back to the church, unwrapped, put under the tree. Just make sure the tag's with it, because that just means that the mission committee doesn't have to sit there with the master list saying, wait a minute, who is this person? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nancy. And now as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, let us remember, a voice cries out in the wilderness.
Pray for the holy hope of God. Like a great light in a land of deep darkness, the mercy of the Lord shines upon us. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin. Almighty God, you set before us the way of goodness and beckon us to follow you, but we disregard your teachings and disobey your word. You call people of every land to dwell in harmony, but we sow division and harvest discord. You command us to craft tools that sustain life, but we cling to weapons that damage and destroy. Forgive us, Lord. Your creation yearns for wholeness. People long for justice and peace. Keep us ever watchful and awaken us to your ways as we wait in hope for the light of the world.
Hear the promise of the Lord. See, your salvation has come. You are a holy people, redeemed by God, sought out, not forsaken. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Please take a moment to share the peace.
Would the children please join me? Good morning. How are you both today? Good. All right, so I have a question. I know you can answer this, Cece, because you are a Girl Scout, right?
Yes, yes, you are a Girl Scout.
Yes. So what's the Girl Scout motto?
To respect authority, and we can make the world a better place.
Very nice. Very nice. Very good. Somewhere in there, do they talk to you about being prepared?
Yes, yes. A lot.
Yes, being prepared. What are you being prepared for?
Anything could happen, really.
Right. So you want to be ready for anything, yeah. Right? So you want to be strong and healthy and have your stuff together and know what's, be ready for anything, right? So being prepared is kind of what Advent is. So today is the first Sunday of Advent. Thank you for coming up with your dad and lighting that first Advent candle for us. Advent is all about preparing. So we're prepared, it's now that it's December and we're 4 weeks out from Christmas, it's time to prepare. So what kind of things do you do to prepare for Christmas?
We go. We go cut down a Christmas tree and decorate it.
That's a great tradition. Yeah, you prepare for Christmas by getting a tree. Yeah, go ahead.
My dad painted little statues of like the three kings, and so we put those up, and it's really nice. And I decorated it a bit more than we did last year, but.
Well, that's great. So you have a tree and decorations, and maybe you'll make some cookies?
Yes.
Cookies, and...
When we found him, he had cookie crumbs all over his beard.
Well, he enjoyed them then. That's good. All right. So maybe Christmas cards and Christmas gifts? Mm-hmm. You have to do some shopping, get some Christmas gifts?
Me and my brother did something for our sister.
That's very nice. So those are all ways that we prepare for Christmas. And it's important to celebrate Christmas. It's a great holiday because we're celebrating Jesus' birth and remembering that he's always there for us. But in the Bible, Jesus talks about coming again, that he's going to come again, but no one knows when. So how can we be prepared for that? How can we prepare for Jesus coming again?
We could always be kind.
Exactly. Very good, Cece. We can remember to always live the way that we have been taught by the Bible, the way that Jesus has taught us to live, and taking care of ourselves and others and our world. And then we'll be ready for him whenever he comes, and we can celebrate that joy. All right? So as you prepare for Christmas, remember to always be prepared for Jesus coming again. Let's say a prayer. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus and giving him to us to show love, to forgive us of our sins, so that we can celebrate that on Christmas. And help us to always remember to be preparing ourselves for Christ when he comes again. Amen. Okay, so you can go back to your seats.
Holy God, our hope and strength, by the power of your Spirit, prepare the way in our hearts for the coming of your word, so that we may see the glorious signs of your promise fulfilled through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the first reading today is actually what's listed as the second reading in your bulletin, and it comes from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
Thank you.
Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew. Again, it's different from the Matthew reading in your bulletin. It is actually Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13, and that can be found on page 983 in your pew Bibles. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 maidens who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here comes the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all the maidens woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Sir, sir," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." So most of us found out perhaps late morning, early afternoon yesterday that Reverend Bacon was not going to be able to come. Fool that I am, I offered to lead worship, knowing, you know, she wasn't going to make it. However, I also knew that, first of all, I'm not good enough to write a sermon from scratch in about a 12-hour period. But what I did have at my disposal was a box of about 900 sermons that my father had delivered during his years in the ministry. Fortunately, he was incredibly organized, unlike myself. Every sermon is placed in this box in chronological order, and so it was relatively easy to find First Sunday of Advent sermons in the box. I found about 10, and I was able to look at some, and I picked one that I thought was pretty good. The other ones, but this one is pretty good. So what you are going to hear this morning is a sermon written by Reverend Raymond F. Jones. About 0.5% of it might be me a little bit, but it's all him. The coming of Christ and our acceptance of him involve preparation. He comes to those who are prepared and expectantly await his coming. There can be no doubt that the early Christians expected a second coming soon to burst upon them and all the world. They looked with eager eyes for that event. The parable of the wise and foolish maidens carries with it an assurance that continual readiness is not a foolish thing. In this parable, 10 bridesmaids go forth to meet the bridegroom and escort him to the home of his bride. Now, during those times, it was common for weddings to be celebrated at night. Now, each bridemaid carries a staff, and at the top is a brazen bowl filled with a rag and oil for a lamp. With the bridegroom's journey being delayed, they fix their lamps in the ground and wait. Soon they nod, and then they fall asleep. But at midnight, the sudden cry is raised, "The bridegroom cometh!" Eagerly, their lamps are tended. But 5 bridesmaids cannot arouse their flickering lights. They have forgotten their extra oil. Give us your oil, for our lamps are going out. No, the others answer, for there may not be enough for you and us. Go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Later they do reach the marriage chamber, but their lamps burn bright. Now they can hear the banquet joy inside, but the door to the banquet is shut. Preparedness is the crux of the story. Christians are to be alert, watchful, living in the posture of preparation for his coming with our lamps trimmed. The mood of Christmas gives us opportunity to look within our lives to see if we are prepared for his coming at Christmas or any day. Are you ready for Christmas? I'm sure that all of us would answer no to this question. Most of us haven't even started our shopping, and we despise those who are done with their shopping. The house is a mess, and then there's the decorating. For those of you who remember the David Letterman late night show, every night he would do a top 10 list, and one week he did a top 10 signs you're not ready for Christmas. When the song on the radio asks, "Sleigh bells ring, are you listening?" you shout back, "No, I'm not listening." No, indeed, we are not ready for Christmas. Suppose at this moment we had everything completed for Christmas. The decorations were up, the tree was up, the gifts are all wrapped. Would we be ready for Christmas then? Of course, we would be ready for December 25th. We would be in the Christmas spirit. I wonder, however, if we would be ready for Christ. Certainly, we all understand that Christmas is the birthday of Christ, a birthday of a way of life which, up to the first Christmas, had appeared to be impossible to humans. For hundreds of years, the prophets had called their people to obey the laws received by Moses at Sinai. These were the laws by which people were to live. But the laws were all broken, and people lived as they always had, each one for themselves and for pleasure and gain. This was a world where people lived in spiritual darkness, experienced sin's curse, shuddered at death. This was paradise lost. Christ came that we might know that we are forgiven, cleansed, and that we might know that it is possible to begin again. He came that we might not be afraid of death. He came that we might walk in light. He came that we might have a remedy for the curse of sin. He came that we might be free of our self-centeredness. And he came that we might have our paradise regained. Christmas is an observance of this grand event. Christmas is every day, or it is no day. Christmas is a way of life, or it is nothing. Christmas is the everlasting celebration of God's everlasting gift, not of one day, not of one year, not of one person's lifetime. Not to one people, not to one nation, not to one age, but to all people, to be a way of life, firm, fixed, unchangeable, one day like another, as long as we live. If Christmas is one day a year, a day for living differently from the other 364, then it isn't Christmas. It's just another custom. And no matter how much we prepare for it, we are not ready for it. Are we ready for Christ's coming? Have you ever visited a friend's house on the spur of the moment, kind of by surprise? Usually you're greeted with mixed emotions. The friend is delighted to see you at first and then begins to think of the condition of the house or their apartment. how they might look at that moment, whether there's anything in the kitchen that they might have to be able to offer to eat or to drink. So the early part of the conversation is spent apologizing back and forth. Our scripture lesson contains a reminder that we are always to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. We know when company is arriving, we make certain that all is in readiness. We remain at home and keep a watchful eye for their arrival. When the person arrives, there is happiness and gratitude. There is no need to apologize. Christ wants to come to us now, tomorrow, and every day, and he wants to speak to us. And as we visit with this guest, who is Christ, we don't have to pretend. He knows our loneliness, our disappointments, our frustrations, our bitterness. He comes because he is concerned about our hearts, the way they really are. He knows that it is no easy thing for us. He knows that we must be reminded continually. It is for this reason that Advent must come again and again to us as it comes this year. His visitation does not have to happen in a church building on a Sunday morning. God does meet us in the sanctuary, perhaps more there than anywhere else. But God is not imprisoned here. God can let down a ladder in the most unlikely places, as Jacob would be glad to testify. God's redemptive presence can confront us anywhere, in a crowded bus, in an office, in a classroom, in a basement. Are we ready for Christ? When Christ was born, the news went to the shepherds. God bypassed the learned rabbis, the high priests, the political bigwigs, and the other great men of the day. They were not ready for him, even when he rose from the grave. Christ came to those who believed in him. He was not fooled by the deceit of the religious leaders. They wanted a Messiah who would be a servant for their selfish needs. But the world does not really want what God has to give. As a matter of fact, it does not even want to know God as God is. The world just wants to get from God what it wants, and God will not come under those conditions. Are you prepared for the best of Christmas? The theme of today's parable was preparedness. When slumber was deepest, when strength was spent, Christ came. Joy at midnight. Someone has said that much of our time and wealth is spent in preparing for the worst. We insure ourselves against fire, storm, theft, collision, sickness, and death, but make not preparation in mind or spirit for joy. Nations prepare for war, but peace and the opportunity to confirm peace find them napping. Reverend Dr. George Buttrick said that the midnights of life are not the sign of doom. They are the hour when heaven comes to offer heaven's joy for our weariness. But when the cry sounds, there is no time for preparation. Those whose lamps are trimmed and filled with oil make their way through the darkness. In the daytime, wise and unwise seem alike. Midnight is the test and the judgment and the offered gladness. Families and churches are preparing nativity scenes. In Europe, some families used to add figures to the scene as Christmas approaches. One of these figures is a walking shepherd with a rolled-up cloth or sheet under his arm for the baby Jesus. In the hard and difficult years after World War II, The sight of this figure reminded the viewers of the homeless and the poor. As a result, a huge collection of bedding was received for those in need. During Advent, it is good to greet the return of familiar things, shepherds, sheep, angels, stars, Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child. It is good that we remember and are remembered. For this way, we can prepare for the best of Christmas. The author Alice Mortensen wrote a poem entitled, Ready for Christmas. Ready for Christmas, she said with a sigh, as she gave a last touch to the gifts piled high. Then wearily sat for a moment and read, till soon, very soon, she was nodding her head. Then quietly spoke a voice in her dream, ready for Christmas? What do you mean? Ready for Christmas when only last week you wouldn't acknowledge your friend on the street? Ready for Christmas while holding a grudge? Perhaps you had better let God be the judge. Why, how can the Christ child come and abide in a heart that is selfish and filled with pride? Ready for Christmas? You've worked, it is true, but doing the things that you wanted to do. Ready for Christmas, your circle is too small. Why, you are not ready for Christmas at all. She awoke with a start and a cry of despair. There's so little time and I've still to prepare. Oh Lord, forgive me. I see what you mean. To be ready means more than a house swept clean. Yes. More than the gifting of gifts and a tree, it's the heart swept clean that God wants to see. A heart that is free from bitterness, sin, ready for Christmas, ready for Him. Amen.
Selling our lost and fallen race.
Please join me in the affirmation of faith as was written and adapted from the Confession of 1967. Out of Israel, God in due time raised up Jesus. His faith and obedience were the response of the perfect child of God. He was the fulfillment of God's promise to Israel, the beginning of the new creation, and the pioneer of the new humanity. He gave history its meaning and direction and called the church to be his servant for the reconciliation of the world. Please be seated. Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Thanks be to you, O God, maker of heaven and earth, giver of justice, lover of righteousness, hope of the afflicted, and friend of the poor. Your faithfulness never fails. Take and use these gifts we offer to further your purpose in the world and to fulfill the promise of the world to come. Through Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. As we enter into a time of continued prayer, please pray for those who are mentioned in the bulletin, members of our church and family who have requested prayer. Also, we certainly ask prayers for those who are traveling back to Laramie or anywhere this weekend today, and pray for safe travels. Let us pray. Gracious God, our world is filled with noise and distractions, and we oftentimes are pulled by custom and tradition, and we don't always focus our eyes on you and the celebration of Christ's birth. And we don't keep that in our hearts every day so that we can begin again and see heaven here on earth. Lord, we ask that you would Help to sweep our hearts clean so that we can begin again and move forward. Lord, we ask all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.